Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I hope you had an easy fast.
I did.
Good. How's Tony doing?
Well, pretty good. He came through the procedure well. And he's a little uncomfortable because the tube going down the throat, you know, irritates you, but he's finally beginning to look a little better, not quite so yellow.
Understand.
Was a very different Yom Kippur.
I'm sure.
But I didn't get to be in the waiting room. They allowed us to stay in his room the whole time. So I was able to do my morning service. And then when we came home, I did the memorial service in Nila in the car from my phone. So it's unusual. But...
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to do Yom Kippur at home by myself anyway. So,
well, one year we had Hurricane Rita, and we had spent 14 days evacuated, couldn't come back, and we had spent Yom Kippur in Arkansas with them. There were only 7 people, and they wanted us to stay for Sukkot because we doubled their population. And then we said, no, we got to go home. And, of course, everybody's yard, you know, was full of shingles and every kind of debris you could think of. So there was no Sukkot that year. So I've learned what a virtual Shabbat, not Shabbat, but lighting Shabbat candles is, and hearing angels, you know, hearing angels sing amen to my blessings, so I could visualize everything. You know, I sang in the choir one time with, when I first came to the synagogue, so I knew all the, you know, the music for Yom Kippur, so, and, you know, it wasn't that hard.
And understand.
Of course, you know, so I know what virtual means these days.
Well, you are definitely one of my stronger students in that regard.
Well, I'm not. I still think I blame it on teaching young kids, you know, and having to do so much pretend stuff and make believe and use your imagination and create plays and, you know. So I evidently
is.
That was background for my spiritual walk, and I never knew it.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You're the only one on, so I don't know if you want to start with Section 10 or wait for other people.
I think you can start. Usually someone comes on. I think we'll be all right.
All right. We're in this Section 10 of Parsha Lech Lecha from the Sulam Commentary on the Zohar by Rabbi Ashlag. And we'll start with Pasuk 58. And first we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Urchilu Urchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Elohimu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananehu וייקח אברהם את שרי אשתו, מהו ויקח אל הממשיך לה במילא, מעלייתה בגין דלית ליה, רשו לברנש ויפקה אצטיה. Lamehach, Piara, Achara, Bila, Leruta, Bila. The Cain who Omer Kach, et Acharon, Kach et halvim ugin kach vayi kach Avram mashich labamilim Vyoda la'arfehom Deinun b'nei dara Kamal bishin ugin kach vayi kach Avram et Sarai Ishto. The translation. And Abraham took Sarai his wife. Actually, it said Abraham took Sarai his wife. In this verse, the word took means that Abraham persuaded her to come with soft words. Because a man cannot take his wife to another country without her agreement. Similarly, it is written, take Aaron and take the Levites. This is why, and Abraham took means that he persuaded her with words, telling her how evil were the ways of their generation. Therefore, it is written, and Abram took Sarai, his wife. My commentary. How different would the world look if this pasuk would be clear to the men of the world? One must ask one's wife softly and gently in order to change locations, since she is primarily responsible for the house, and for her to leave it, there must be agreement. This is a spiritual law, as I understand it. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, what's the proverb? How does it go exactly? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, I think a soft answer probably works in a lot of situations. But to me, this is pretty much, you know, understandable as read.
Yeah.
They're using the word take and giving you several examples. So, and I think we've heard a lot of Midrash about Sarah leaving, you know, the country and playing such a big part in converting women while Abraham was converting men, you know, to the belief in the one God. So do you have another take on that word take?
Well, the important thing is to realize in our context, taking something means there's no free will.
Mm-hmm.
In our modern context, the word take, I took my lunch to work. I take my dog to the vet. These are statements that imply a lack of free will. And here the Zohar is explaining when it comes to people and especially a spouse, it doesn't mean a lack of free will. It does mean persuasion. She didn't say yes when he first asked her. But
I wasn't aware of that.
Where is that? I just made it up.
Oh, well, I said I wasn't aware of that, so that's good. You just made it up.
It's not that I made it up. Intuitively.
Right, I know what you mean.
The Zohar has to express it in this verse. Tells
mm-hmm.
you that she yes, because the word is persuade. And as we all know, marriages have conversations. They have discussions. And one side tries to persuade the other, but they're always coming, even when they're upset with their spouse, they're coming from a place of love. They're not trying to force it. But why then are you using the word take? Why not say I persuaded her, or Avram persuaded Sarai? So what is the excuse me, what is the importance of using the word take?
Well, there evidently was conversation and he persuaded her. Do you think maybe in Abraham's generation it was more the male persuading the wife, whereas I think in our generation it's mostly the wife persuading the husband?
In most of the generations, it has been the husband thinking, well, this is what I heard my mother tell my sisters, that you let the men chase after you till you catch them. So with that understanding, he did persuade, and throughout most generations, we have this picture that the men ordered their wives. There was not a lot of persuasion. That's the image that we have historically.
Right.
But the Zohar is telling us something very different. Now, if we look at the word Vayikach, the first word in the Aramaic verse here, which is being translated as take, the fact that it's using the letter kuf, it's telling you that there's a connection to a negative system within the word, within the action that the word represents, through the agency of the double letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not clear, it's not clear to me whether it's that by using the word take, the verse is telling us that Hashem took Lot, who is a metaphor for his evil inclination.
Mm-hmm.
And he took, you know, he persuaded Sarai, but he took the others. You know, he left and the others followed him. Is that taking, or is that a form of persuasion? That's where I got the sense of the verse being a spiritual law.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go up to verse 59?
Okay.
Ve'et Lot ben Achiv Machama Avraham Ledavka Imeya Lot Ela Begin Ditzafa Beruach HaKodesh Dezamin Lemeipach Mineya David Ve'et HaNefesh Asher Asu Becharan Elaine Garin, the Gio wrote, the Atkidu, Nafshahu, excuse me, Avraham Bagayer, who bring the Sarah Megayeret Nashin Umale Alehon Kailu Avadu Lehon. The translation. And of the verse Lot, his brother's son, he asks, what did Abraham see that made him take Lot with him? And he replies, he foresaw through the Holy Spirit that David shall issue from him in the future. The words "and the souls that they had made in Haran" refer to the male and female converts whose souls they amended. Abraham converted the men while Sarah converted the women. For this reason, the verse is written as if they had made them. My commentary. Extend this verse to how one influences people today. Does Judaism proselytize?
Well, I know at one time they did proselytize, but I think, you know, over time, they sort of drew away.
Actually, the halakha today is that we don't proselytize.
Mm-hmm. When the question was first asked, what did Abraham see that made him take Lot with him? Well, they answered it, but not having read it before, the thought came to me that perhaps that was the same thing that happened to, you know, the Moses, that Moses wanted to take the Arab rod with him, and that this was kind of a repeat with another patriarch. But then they answered it a little bit differently. So, but that was my first thought when you read the question.
Yeah, what I would say to that is, Moses was told by God, don't take them,
right.
Whereas the Torah doesn't address the issue of did God tell Abraham to take Lot.
But I think the Midrash says that Moses thought that he would be able, or not so much he, but that they would eventually come around. But anyway, that was just my first thought there. So.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I like to remind myself about the meaning of Haran with the Zohar, you know, as being the negative system. Don't want to forget that.
Right.
Or metaphor for it. And then I think, too, aren't we told that those students that we teach and those people that we answer questions for and sort of sometimes be mentors to, that it's seen as if we have given birth to them, you know, like they're our children, so to speak. And I think that's
correct.
Kind of what they're telling us about Abraham and Sarah, you know.
Yeah,
and I kind of think, don't you think Sarah really knew, maybe not outright knowing, but just a consciousness that she and Abraham, they were together and in their walk and in their, you know, their plan with Hashem. And especially since they're kind of the, what would you say, the first leaders, you know, I think they sensed.
You have to remember that Sarah was a higher prophet than Abraham.
Right. I remember that when we studied the prophet. It says, you know.
And so God spoke to Abraham directly, but he didn't really ever speak to Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
But intuitively, she would know that when Abraham said, I have to, God told me to go, Sarah would intuitively know that that was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 60. Amara Biaba Ihake Kama Bene Nasha Hawo Ite Madikaho Azalu Imea Amara Bielazar Enugin Kahaho Bene Nasha Dehawo Azmin Imea Kaho Ikun Am Elohke Avraham Wahawa Ma'avar Biara Bilahawa Dahil Iti Viavor Avram Baretz. The translation. Rabbi Abba,
are we still connected?
Rabbi
Abba
said, if so, then there were a lot of people referring to the converts. How can we say that they all left with him? Rabbi Elazar responded, indeed so. And because of this, all the people who went with him are called the people of the Elohim of Abraham. And he traveled through the country with no fear, as it is written. And Abraham passed through the land. My commentary, since he had a great horde of people, the word horde is a word I'm using, not the way they translate it. But he had a great amount of people, which made him safe as they traveled.
And that was new to me, and I don't think I was aware of that. I have a feeling that word comma, because it means, you know, I think it has to do with counting, how many, how much, is telling us that. But I never assumed that the people followed him, and that was what made the other nations reverence Abraham.
You have a lot of people with you. You are a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when you go around counting countries, you know, we start with the population. We estimate the population because the number of people is going to establish their wealth, their strength, all of these different attributes of the country.
I also remember that, reading probably Midrash, saying that Hagar was really a princess, but she was willing to leave and be a concubine and be a servant to Sarah. You know, so I guess we did get a little hint of it in the Torah.
Right. But
you know, that
you
people
the Midrash says she was a princess to Pharaoh in Egypt, and that he gave her to Abraham as a slave. He gave her to Sarah in order for the angel to stop hitting him when he took her away from him.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't. She didn't have free choice, but. You know, she was a princess in Egypt, and she became a princess in Abraham's tent.
Mm-hmm.
We might have enough time for the next one.
Okay.
Amar lo Rabbi Abba, Ihawa kiti v'ha nefesh, Asher asu b'charam, Hawa amina, Hake elav et hanefesh kitiv, Et liaska zekuta, V'kal ho nafsham, Ihawo azle, imeya dekoman, din zaka, Leachara haulu sekuta taoya beya bela ade mineya minalam viti viet hanefesh asher asu becharam sekuta deinun nafsham hawa Azel Imeya Yavraham. The translation. Rabbi Abba said to him, if it had been written, and souls that they had made in Haran, then he would have agreed that because of their great numbers, Abraham had no fear when passing through the land. But he said, it is written, and the et souls, in which particle L, et, serves as an addition to the merits of those souls that went along with him. It is for this reason that Abraham was able to pass through the land with no fear. Because he who leads his friend to meritorious conduct benefits always from that conduct, and the benefit never leaves him. How do we know this? Because it is written, and the souls that they had made in Haran, the merit of these souls accompanied Abraham. My commentary. The true word is the word et, which the Zohar tells us that et is always the Shekhinah. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I was thinking that we've had et as meaning of a metaphor for the Olive Bet and the Shekinah. So you said that in your commentary.
Yes.
Which I know it's in different forms of, you know, different frames of reference. But by saying that et could be the Shekinah, would it just be the Shekinah and not actually groups of physical people, that the other nations just could see the awareness of the presence of the Shekinah?
The awareness of the Shekinah and not bother them. That is a machloket. It's a discussion in the Talmud, and they don't really come to a resolution of it. That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he made a lot of people, or he had great influence because the Shekhinah was with him, and
mm-hmm.
people can sense that.
Right.
You know, when you are energy sensitive, you sense that this person's, you know, has great authority, great charisma is the modern term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You sense that there's a connection to Hashem. All right.
Let's stop here.
We're out of time.
Okay.
So tonight we're studying the Ari's writing on Hilulah, on Chazinu, I'm sorry.
Did you put another part up?
Yes.
Okay, because I know we had one part. Okay. Is this one going to be about the music? I think that was what part two was supposed to be.
Part two is about the music, and I didn't finish part two.
Okay.
We're just doing part one. We haven't done part one yet, have we?
Well, I may have printed. It could be that I read it ahead. I didn't.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know. I'd have to check my notes and see if it's dated and checked off, you know, verses as we did.
I understand.
But I find it hard to resist his commentaries. I'm so glad you put them on.
There's no reason to resist it. You know, if you have the time to read ahead, you know where the website is. You know, I do think that my comments do help people understand it.
Oh, very definitely. And, you know, you always say it needs more pondering, but one of them needs pondering. So we go on and come back again the next year if we can. So.
Exactly.
Okay. And I meant to ask you, did you have a good Yom Kippur too?
I did, yes. I had an easy task.
Okay.
Thank you. Come in.
Okay. All right, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you tonight. Bye-bye.